everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along today with producer Ray Allen. Ray and I welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show. Our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt, taking a well-deserved day off. Ray and I welcome you to the show for Friday, May 9th, 2014. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We are here live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then we make it very easy for you. We podcast our program. Really, we have the whole Buckmaster Show archive on my website at buckmastershow.com, so you can certainly check out our work anytime, anywhere on your schedule. Also, a quick shout out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun all have prominent links on their homepages to our work here at KVOI. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Brent DeRod, president and CEO of Visit Tucson, formerly known as the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. It's certainly a lot easier to say, Brent.
Oh, without question.
By saying Visit Tucson, by cutting down a number of words. Brent just marked his two-year anniversary in Tucson, coming down to the old Pueblo from Scottsdale, where he was the executive vice president of the Scottsdale Convention and Visitors Bureau. He was there for a little more than a decade. Joining me in studio to question Mr. DeRod, Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for us, Ray would be more than happy to answer your calls on the Buckmaster Show live line and screen them a little bit and then get you on the air at 790-2040. We also invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show. We're easy to find. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook. Sarah, ladies first. How are you today?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks for having me.
That's good to see you again. Brent, how's it going?
Excellent. Thank you.
You know, when you compare your 2 years, well, let's talk a little bit about the 2 years. It's been, you hit the ground running, and so far, one of the most visible things, I think, that you were involved with in engineering is a different brand for the product, along with changing the long name to Visit Tucson, which is all part of the brand, the new brand.
Certainly. One of the things we really wanted to dig into right off the bat was taking a look at what customers thought about us. We wanted to get out and do a lot of research. We started locally, trying to get stakeholder input, but then went out and talked to consumers out in some of our top feeder markets. We wanted to get the impressions of what they thought about Tucson specifically. What is it that drives travel here? If they're not coming, why is that? And so you learn a lot from that process. I think at the end of the day, what we heard very clearly is that Tucson is they see it as an invigorating community. When we talk to people in New York, Chicago, LA, San Francisco, they're looking to get away to from a place that in New York and Chicago, it's just so congested. Mm-hmm. The pace of life is so fast. They love coming to Tucson because of certainly the Sonoran Desert, the mountains, but really the ability to rejuvenate. Mm-hmm. And so that really led to our tagline of Free Yourself. We've been able to, I think, get that out in our top feeder markets in a big way. We've seen just over the past year about a 58% increase in web traffic from our top feeder markets, which is great. But with additional dollars, we'd be able to get that out there, I think, in a much more widespread fashion.
Brent, were they thinking of the outdoors, most of the people? Was that kind of, to put it in a one-word look at what Tucson meant to these people? One word, outdoors?
Outdoors, no question. Mm-hmm. That whole adventure recreation aspect is really, I think, what sets us apart. We heard cycling, hiking to a large extent, but people want to get here and get out and explore. And I think when you see the beauty of the Sonoran Desert here in Tucson, it really resonates with people.
Here is Sarah Garrett-Gasson.
That just makes me think of, digging for clams in the Santa Cruz River or something, which would not be very successful.
No.
You came from Scottsdale, and Scottsdale is very successful in building its own brand and its own destination. It's separate from Phoenix. Do you think that what can Tucson learn from Scottsdale, not to mirror or copy Scottsdale, but what can our community do to build that sort of singular, oh, Tucson means XYZ.
I think in Scottsdale, really what you see is a focus on building a strong community. And tourism is almost a byproduct of that. It's one of those scenarios where you see a lot of community investment in the infrastructure in Scottsdale, the beautification of it, anything from the sign codes to very strict design standards there as well. They've built a community that that people want to live in, where they want to work, a very affluent community that is really appealing to people. What happens from that standpoint then is tourists want to end up being there as well. And so things that are often built either for residents or for tourists, you look at some of the golf courses, tourists, you're seeing new resorts and new spas, those types of things add to the quality of life for all. And it really goes back to tourism is really very closely related to the quality of life within a community and also to the overall economic development. Tourism is a very important component of economic development in Scottsdale. It's always been treated as such, and they invest in the community and in tourism.
And what is, you bring up an interesting point, which is that we talk a lot about tourism and the idea of people coming from elsewhere, spending money, shopping, doing their thing, and then leaving. But I don't know that people think of that as how that translates and benefits people who live here, that it's something that's temporary for people, for the benefit of people who don't live here. So what are some things that you would encourage Tucson to do as a community that people who live here would benefit from, that we would enjoy too?
You know, one of the things that you take a look at this industry, it's 22,000 people are employed in tourism throughout Pima County. The direct spending by visitors annually, $2.6 billion throughout the county, and that's direct spending. And so, that's really enticing, from that aspect. The tax revenue that comes from that, even within Tucson proper, more than 90% of the tourism-related tax revenue, and I'm looking at bed tax and sales tax, goes back into the city coffers. And so those dollars really underwrite the cost of services for a lot of residents here as well. I think part of what the city of Tucson could look at is, okay, do we want to take some of that revenue and how do we take that to strategically invest in this community to, fix potholes, to, to incentivize a lot of private sector development so that we get a stronger community. I love taking a look at the light rail, for example. I think that's going to be a big boon. When we look at the private investment that's followed that public investment, you're seeing a lot of transit-oriented development along that light rail route. Those are the types of things where when you invest back in the community, tourism-related capital projects and special events, those are things that I think really Tucson could do that would bring more people here.
Downtown is really coming into its own as a promotable piece for you all at Visit Tucson.
It really is. What we see is, even in my 2 years here, the transformation in downtown has been remarkable. It goes deeper than the bars and restaurants. You're starting to see, I think, just with the overall construction and companies locating in that area, that's strong. We may finally see some type of new hotel product in downtown, which is desperately needed. You're starting to see renovation at Tucson Convention Center, about $8 million is going to go into the arena. We're excited about that. There's a look at private operation maybe of that convention center, maybe building a package where we could actually bring conventions into TCC. It's a great community center. We'd love to actually see it become a convention center.
The promotional numbers, the dollars spent in 2006, 2007, Tucson was spending about what Scottsdale was spending. And then the Great Recession hit. It didn't seem to impact Scottsdale as much, the Great Recession, as far as cutting back on spending. So they're at now at about $12 million annually that Scottsdale spends, and we're at about seven.
Yes, that's correct.
So we were equal, but look at us now.
That's right. we were both spending about $11 million in tourism promotion in 2006-07. Recession hit. What we saw specifically from the city of Tucson, the city was investing 45% of its bed tax at that point. Recession hit, that cut all the way back to 28% of the bed tax. Meanwhile, what you saw in Scottsdale, we actually formulated a bed tax increase, took it to the voters. They approved it. The CVB back in Scottsdale was getting 70% of the bed tax back then. They cut it to 50, but the rest of the bed tax revenue went into special events, tourism-related capital projects. So what you saw was an increase in special event funding from about $200,000 annually up to $1.1 million. You saw no money being being invested in tourism related capital projects up to about $4 to $5 million annually. They now have an enclosed Equidome up at Westworld. They're looking at a desert discovery center. They're looking at some new projects that they can build. So investing back into the community, capital projects, special events, and tourism promotion combined, I think that led to where you're seeing Scottsdale at today.
Here's Sarah again.
One thing that every time I tell someone I'm from Arizona when I'm traveling or whatever, they're like, oh, Arizona, like we have some giant baggage that goes along with just our name. Our reputation, good, bad, whatever, what is that? Does that kind of carry, I don't know, a connotation? People want to come, don't want to come for political reasons, non-political reasons. What does Arizona mean outside our borders?
People who've been here, I think, have a much better understanding of our culture, and they have a very good impression of being here. If you haven't been here, they think back to Senate Bill 1070, which was signed into law by the governor in 2010. You know, still issues with that, hasn't been fully implemented. The debate recently over Senate Bill 1062 really had a negative impact on us from a meeting standpoint, but then also on the leisure travel side as well. When you hear those types of things and discriminations out there in terms of part of your reputation, you're going to take a subset of potential travelers or meeting delegates off the table. They're just simply not going to come here. And it has had a very negative impact on tourism here in Tucson.
Is there anything that we can do as Tucson to say, that's not us? since Tucson is kind of a different set of, it's a subset of Arizona.
We got really aggressive on social media during the debate on Senate Bill 1062, trying to let customers know Tucson's a very welcoming place. You can come here. There's no discrimination, whether it's against, race, creed, color, whatever it might be, and with LGBT travelers as well. We try to get that message out. A larger share of voice from a media standpoint for us in terms of the dollars that we spend would have been very helpful at that point. We do our best to differentiate ourselves, I think, from some of the lawmakers up in Phoenix were looking at. I think for the most part, again, customers who have been to Tucson, they understand that they'll be back. It didn't impact them. But for those who haven't been here, Tucson really took a hit. And I'll tell you, Phoenix has taken a major hit. Their convention center and their ability to book conventions into that convention center has been impacted dramatically by Senate Bills 1070 and now by 1062.
All right. Brent DeRod is with us from Visit Tucson. We're going to take our first break of the Buckmaster Show, the Friday edition, back right after this. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Brent DeRod is with us from Visit Tucson. Brent is CEO and president of Visit Tucson. Not good news about the Viscount Suites Hotel, Brent, on Broadway filing for bankruptcy reorganization to restructure its debt. And unfortunately, several of our properties here in town, hotels, have taken a hit over the last couple of years.
It is unfortunate. You know, just taking a look at many of the resorts in town have undergone some type of bankruptcy protection. And now with Viscount, really what I think it comes back to is just from a meeting standpoint, that's been the biggest area where we've seen cuts through the last several years. The number of meetings, the number of delegates per meeting, and then also the type of spending that happens as well. It's one of those things we used to see a decade ago where when groups would come in, it was a longer duration of stay. The spending per person and by the company was much higher. Group food and beverage was higher. And even like with golf tournaments and things like that, every group had a golf tournament with it, for example. And so we've seen huge cuts across the board from that standpoint. Also, Tucson's very reliant on government meetings, and Viscount certainly falls into that category as well. Sequestration has had a major impact in terms of the occurrence of government meetings. And then also the GSA, it lowered the rate that government employees can pay in Tucson. And they just lowered that back in September once again. And so when you look at what government employees were paying here 5 years ago versus what they pay now, it's considerably lower now.
For the resorts, how was the winter season?
It was actually very strong. The resorts are picking up in a nice way. I wish I could say the same for the rest of Tucson proper, especially. It hasn't picked up to the same extent. But the resorts, we were just looking at the numbers for March. RevPAR, which is an acronym for Revenue Per Available Room, it was up 17% in March for the resorts, which was a great sign for us. And again, that just goes back to we're starting to see some rebound in the meetings business. And those folks are staying a little bit longer, more delegates, and the rates are finally starting to go up at our resorts, which is desperately needed.
Okay, before I throw it back over to Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, we have a caller, and this is kind of on topic, so we'll go to the caller about a couple of other hotel properties in town. Robert is with us on the live line, 790-2040. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, rapid fire. What's going on at the Hilton East? There are plans in the lobby of the Dorado Golf Course for a hotel to go in there. And it looks like the Windmill Inn is being renovated, or so the new general manager says, to a Homewood Suites.
Okay. Any word on that, Brent?
Yeah, I would agree. We've certainly heard the same thing with Windmill, that it is being renovated. It'll be transformed into a Homewood Suites. We're excited about that. I think that'll be a great product as that it gets taken over. One of the nice things is, you know, when you move from an individual hotel into a more of a brand, with that comes meetings, leads, and other built-in business mechanisms. And so I think that's helpful. The scenario with Hilton East, over there quite a bit, I'm not aware of any, I guess, substantive changes. I had heard your question about the Dorado Golf Club. I guess I'm not aware of that currently. I would tell you with Hilton East, they certainly seem to be booking quite a bit of business right now. We're real pleased with their performance. Kevin Kelly, Marcy Rogers do a great job over there.
All right, here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Well, along the same lines of the hotel, the big question downtown is, you know, the Hotel Arizona and the lack of a big convention hotel or really any number of hotel rooms that can handle a big meeting. It's just sort of a monstrosity sitting there, vacant. What would you do with that?
Well, you know, again, talking with Bert Lopez about that, I think he is certainly looking to try to get that property reopened at some point in the not-too-distant future. But he's going to need some help, I think, from the city of Tucson to be able to do that. And that's where the conversations continue. I think with some of the changes that we're seeing at Tucson Convention Center, the ability, you know, the arena is one thing, but really, I guess, renovating, enhancing the exhibition space is going to be needed, I think, before that hotel could become profitable from that standpoint. And so they'll continue to look at that. Urban Land Institute was in the fall. They've got some very interesting recommendations as well for the western part of downtown. Part of that could be raising La Placida, and it was brought up with Hotel Arizona in that mix as well. I don't know if we'll see that necessarily, but I do think you're going to see maybe a presence from the University of Arizona in downtown. I think you're going to see the development of some public plazas and some things that will bring people into downtown on a more frequent basis. I think that combined with the streetcar, we feel very good about the future of downtown. Those are the types of things I think that could make Hotel Arizona viable once again.
Downtown is, of course, one selling point, but when it comes to the resorts, you want some place to kind of do a stay-at-home vacation. If you're from Phoenix, I guess people from Phoenix would like to come down to our resorts, and this is where summer promotions come in.
You bet. In fact, we're getting ready to launch our summer campaign on Sunday, May 18th. We have a special section that will run in the Arizona Republic. We have sections in Scottsdale Magazine, Phoenix Magazine. We'll run cable television advertising in Phoenix as well. What we have seen through our research, as we work with our hotels, we look at their guest records. Phoenix is our top feeder market, not just in the summer, but on a year-round basis. We'll continue to push Phoenix very hard. It certainly takes the airline equation out of it. We were talking earlier off air about flights and just some of the efforts to bring more nonstop lift. It's a difficult proposition, but something we'll continue to push. But meanwhile, I think the more Phoenicians that we can get down here on an annual basis, the better off we're going to be.
And you actually have a full page ad in the Scottsdale magazine, so go right for the jugular. It says Destination Tucson. Is that what your ad's about?
It is. And in fact, we were able to get several partners to come in and advertise as well. Okay. A lot of times from a co-op standpoint, if we can come in, spend some money, lead a section, and then buy down the costs for our partners to come in and advertise, we're always very pleased to do so. And then it leads to a bigger, stronger Tucson message.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson.
What do Phoenicians come to Tucson for? Just to get away from the big city?
I think they like the slower pace in Tucson. They could certainly enjoy a similar resort spa experience in Scottsdale if they chose to do that. But for us, I think we have to differentiate just in terms of a little bit cooler weather, some of the great attractions. That was one of the things that struck me coming to Tucson from Metro Phoenix is you take a look at places like Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, Old Tucson. Tucson, Pima Air and Space Museum, the list goes on. Those are things that are really interesting and things that you just don't find in abundance, I guess, up in Metro Phoenix. So I think the more that we can do that and then play off of some of the unique cuisine, people from Phoenix, when they come here, are amazed at just the number of individually owned and operated restaurants, the quality, especially the Mexican food. Our whole Best 23 Miles of Mexican Food campaign really seems to resonate.
I mean, yeah, I think of Phoenix, I think of a lot of chain restaurants.
That's what I experience on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, and we just have so many wonderful choices when it comes to restaurants, especially in the downtown area. So what would you like? What's on your wish list? You've just completed year two. What's on the wish list for you for year number three, Brent Durod?
Well, Bill, I think we need to continue to have the conversation about what we want to do, not just in the city of Tucson, but throughout Pima County from a tourism product standpoint. I do think that investing in special events is a short-term mechanism that we can use to bring more people into Tucson. But I think long-term, we really need to take a look at just the overall health of the community. Tourism needs to play a role in that, and at least be part of that conversation to take a look at how do we really impact our overall tourism product here. Downtown, I think, is a start. I think we're making great strides there. But in terms of, whether it's the Pima County Bond Project, where they're looking at investing in attractions and other types of tourism infrastructure, how do we work that? What is the future, in terms of downtown and beyond? How can we invest dollars strategically so that we can bring more people into this region? For us, I think that combination, special events, capital projects, and then tourism promotion and marketing, that's how we're going to bring more people into Tucson.
A record snowfall certainly didn't hurt us in the Midwest, did it, this year?
It always helps. It's a fine line. We actually lost a couple of meetings last minute. It got so cold and the weather was so bad back east, we had some meetings that had to cancel. They just couldn't get their delegates here. So, yes, you want it cold enough where they're thinking about, I've got to get out of here, but the weather can't be so bad that it cancels thousands of flights, which is what happened in January.
Okay, Brent Durod, thank you very much. Good luck with the upcoming summer tourism season, and we wish you well. Thanks for being with us.
Bill, Sarah, thank you so much.
All right. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show with our Friday Roundtable. Sarah Garrett-Gasson and Mark Evans will be joining us back after this.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Listen to what our customers have to say.
Hi, this is Casey Plivchak, Director of Club Events and Sales at 49er Country Club, where we know what it takes to make an event a great success. It takes a beautiful location, a lush manicured golf course, great food and service, and the help of Arizona Party Rental. Whether we're hosting a wedding, a golf tournament, or an outdoor barbecue, Arizona Party Rental provides us with everything we need to make sure that our guests have a wonderful time. From tents to tables, linens, or kitchen equipment, Arizona Party Rental has it all. We want all of Tucson to enjoy 49er Country Club, and we count on Arizona Party Rental for a reliable, excellent hometown service. You can too.
Hey, thanks a lot, Casey. It's amazing what you and your team have done to make 49ers what it is today. Visit Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Stop by our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Now it's time for our Friday Roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer, columnist, Arizona Daily Star, is with me. And joining us, Mark B. Evans, former editor of the Inside Tucson Business. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing well.
That's good to see you again. What about the A-10? I see that,
What about it?
There may be some good news coming out of Washington. I guess the Congressional Committee has decided maybe at least give it another year before they make a decision.
Well, right. I mean, let's not make too much of it. It is a committee. It's got to then get through the House and it has to get through the Senate as part of an overall funding plan for the military. Now, generally, funding for the military tends to get lots of support in Congress because it provides lots of jobs and no one wants to be against the military. So it's a key step and it bodes well. But the long-term prospects of the ATEM remain as dim as they have ever been. This might be a stopgap. For the economic developers of Tucson and the people who are concerned about Tucson's economy, it's important that the transition between the end of the A-10 mission and the new mission, whatever that's going to be for DM, is over a period of time rather than abruptly, because if you suddenly lose 4,000 or 5,000 people who are there to support the A-10 mission, they're not there next year, then you lose all of that economic activity, and that could be quite hard for take, because the economy right now, Tucson's very fragile. We're only growing at about 1%.
Well, Sarah, I was very happy to hear in our monthly conversation with retired U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. We always learn so much from his conversations, and he's always with us first Monday of the month. And he said he had just come from a meeting with Mayor Rothschild, and I can't think of a better local resource to be brought in on the future of Davis-Monthan than someone like General Wickham, who has all sorts of incredible connections with Washington and the Pentagon, as you might suspect after being head of the U.S. Army Chief of Staff.
Yes. I mean, we are fortunate in Tucson to have a wealth of
retired veterans
who have all sorts of excellent experience, and because we need more than just lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a strategic argument more than just, you know, please, please, please.
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledging, of course, that national policy and national security policy and military strategic policy isn't going to be made on solely on the basis of who do we like the most and who do we like the least and who is nicest to us, nor should it. So, but yeah, people like General Wickham and other resources in town, I'm glad that the mayor is meeting with those folks, and I hope that other people with experience to share and insight come forward and offer that as well.
And I heard General Wickham share with us that this is the first time I've heard this, Mark Evans, that the general believes that there is a possibility of expanding the Boneyard beyond an Air Force situation where you would bring in all military vehicles that are no longer being used because of our climate, and we have the room for these things. So this could kind of be an entire military boneyard, not just limited to the Air Force.
Well, I hadn't heard that before, mm-hmm. but that's very interesting. It still raises the question of how many people are necessary to support all those vehicles. When you have an active wing, when you have a training mission like you have at A-10, there are a lot of people that get involved.
It's 2,000 associated with the A-10, civilian
right, exactly,
and military.
Right, exactly, civilian and military. So, mm-hmm. So depending on how big they were to expand it, you could potentially make up for those people in the long run. I mean, two things that the Air Force has in the United States has dedicated itself towards in terms of its air missions going forward in the future. One, it's all about the F-35. And two, it's secondarily all about drones. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't win the drone wars, as you would say, that went to Luke. You didn't win the F-35 wars. Let's win the drone wars. Let's get the drones down here and make that our focus, because I think that is really the future of air warfare.
Yeah, and the drone already has a place down at Fort Huachuca, so maybe we can kind of have a joint mission. Let's move on. We have Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Star with us, and Mark Evans is here. 790-2040, if you would like to join our roundtable. The recall of two governing board members on the Pima Community College board is not going to happen. They had to put together, well, I think pretty many valid signatures. 30,000
25,000 verifiable.
Really, that seems pretty high
per district.
Per district.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, but they didn't come really even close to that, from what I understand. So that recall's off.
Yeah, they just failed to get the number of verifiable signatures that they needed, and it was a high number. But I mean, Marty Cortez and Scott Stewart were the two members of the board who are up for recall that people
being targeted
wanted to basically vote out of office and replace mm-hmm. them. But Marty, they had just won re-election. It was a lot of effort to undo an election that had just happened, pretty much. And all the scandals that mm-hmm. had happened before and during that election season. So mm-hmm. it's not like the voters didn't know what was going on. At the Arizona Daily Star, we have called for their resignation. We did not endorse them. But it's the kind of thing that people have made their choice, and it's kind of, frankly, hard to get kind of excited about a community college recall effort unless you're really, really, really into the issue.
Yeah, and Mark, I don't think this really ever had traction. I have heard many people say, why are we doing this? Why is the Southern Arizona Leadership Council focusing on this when there's so many other issues in the community they could be focusing on? But folks that I've talked to seem to want to give Chancellor Lee Lambert the benefit of the doubt and let him do his work.
Yeah, I think the recall effort had two very strong headwinds. One was they weren't trying to gather signatures from the entire county at large. It had to be drawn from within the districts that they were trying to target that person. So trying to get 25,000 signatures countywide, you might have a better shot at it. But if you're trying to get 25,000 just within one district, that's a lot of shoe leather, a lot of door knocking. And unless you can afford to pay you know, out of town petition gatherers to get paid by the signature, that was going to be very difficult. You'd need hundreds of volunteers, and they didn't have that. And the other thing is that the scandal has no constituency, really. The scandal that involved the district centered around the reign of Robert Flores, who was the previous chancellor. He was a bit of a tyrant, as the other employees have come out and said. There were allegations of sexual harassment. He's gone. A new chancellor is in there. He's trying to fix that. The repercussions of his regime are still coming forward. You're still getting horrible stories about the problems with the veterans office has been decertified, and there's other problems. People are getting fired and things like that, which you're going, which you should expect. New broom sweeps clean. Mm-hmm. So the outrage isn't really there, and so really the people that really disliked Flores were the people who worked there, not necessarily the students who attended or anything like that. And the people who worked there tended to be who hated Flores were the high ranking officials. So it didn't really trickle down to the faculty, to the student body, and to the public taxpayer at large. So I'm not surprised that they failed in this. There was no real like I said, there was no real constituency for the recall.
TUSD, Sarah is going to be spending a little bit more in the classroom to try to improve the ratio in the classroom and improve teacher pay. This is a story, I think, that they had the news conference after we were off the air last Friday, but I think this is pretty important.
Yeah, class size is one of those things in education that's extremely important. Because it affects your children directly. And the smaller the classes, researchers will argue back and forth, but it's common sense that if you have 40 kids in a class and one teacher and no aide, it's going to be a lot different scenario than if you have 25 or 20 kids in a class with no aide. So they're going to spend money to reduce class sizes. They're still going to be fairly large, but this is something that is a recurring theme in school districts, specifically TUSD, where they every so often say, this is going to be a big push for us. We're going to reduce class sizes, because it's one of those things that charter schools, and they lose thousands upon thousands of kids to charter schools. Charter schools can say, we have very low ratios of students to teachers. And that's not something that you find in a lot of traditional public schools, particularly in Tucson Unified in some parts of town. So I think it's a good thing. I think that the fewer kids in a class, the better. Effective teachers are going to be effective teachers no matter where they are, and you're not going to hide a bad teacher with fewer kids. But I think it's a good thing.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, what she said.
Okay. it will shift, of course. Big knock on public schools is that there are too many administrators, so this program over at TUSD will shift some of the dollars going to administration back into the classroom. And speaking of schools, the Arizona Republic had an editorial this week saying basically that something is out of whack, Mark Evans, when the state superintendent of public instruction decides students in private schools should get more tax money than those in public schools. We're talking about Superintendent Hoopenthal.
Yeah, Hoopenthal wanted to get more money into the charter schools in terms of the per pupil, the per capita money that the school districts receive, public schools receive. And there was a bill in the legislature this year to do that, and it failed. So what he has done administratively is redefined the definition for charter schools, which gave the charter schools the money that that he didn't get legislatively. And you know, Hoopenthal already had a scandal earlier this year where he was part of a robocall to try and convince people to send their kids to private schools. Clearly, the superintendent is not interested in making all the public schools in Arizona as the best they possibly can be. He has completely drunk the school choice Kool-Aid and he's not helping. And I think that the Republic's editorial actually could have been a little bit more stronger in their criticism of him.
But I do like the last paragraph, Sarah, and I'll share that with the listeners. If he likes the title State Superintendent of Private Schools, Hoopenthal is in the wrong job. He was elected to represent public instruction, not undermine it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's Calvin Baker, the superintendent over at the Vail Unified School District, was on my little online show. If I could do a little plug.
No, go ahead. Promote it. AZStarNet.com.
It's up on the mm-hmm. website now.
And you've got a newsmaker series that you're doing interviews.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. So some shameless self-promotion there. But he was making the point that what Hoopenthal did is he's giving allocating money to families who want to send their kids, and there's families, categories of kids that qualify, to take that money out of public schools and send their kids to private schools with taxpayer money, where the kids don't have to take standardized tests, they don't have to be evaluated, there's no way to know how the schools perform. They're opaque. It doesn't mean that they're bad schools. It's just that we don't know. And that's something that I think is really, really worrisome and is something that is just shameful for a superintendent of public instruction. He's failing in his job.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sarah actually corrected me. I think I said charter schools earlier.
You did.
I didn't mean that.
I should have caught
schools.
That. Thank you, Sarah, for being my editor today.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I know. And your Newsmaker series, were you going to archive the pieces you've done? This is number 3, I think. Two or three.
Yes, three or four.
So they'll be available.
Yes, azstarnet.com/video.
Okay.
And you can find them there. Thanks,
and
Bill.
And they're about 5 to 8 minutes long. So
yeah, we're aiming for about 5 minutes, short and sweet. And
short attention span.
Yes.
Sarah, thank you very much. Mark, thanks a lot. Hope you both have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks very much.
Thanks. We've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up next. He'll have his picks of the weekend.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Another
business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where the 19th annual Silver City Blues Festival is coming up. 11 outstanding acts, and here's the good news. Not only is this the Southwest unparalleled free musical event, but it happens over a three-day weekend, Memorial Day, so that's going to be a great getaway, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County. You can find out about all the great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila, and the wonderful things to do on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, Mr. Matt Russell, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, award-winning Tucson publicist, and a guy who is always ready to sit down and enjoy a good meal. How are you?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, Bill, I don't know about you, but I am ready for this weekend, my friend.
I don't think I've ever been so ready, Matt, for a weekend. Okay, drum roll. We're going to do your top three picks.
Pick, yes, you know,
and begin with...
Yeah, I know how much you love a freshly baked pie like I do, Bill, and tomorrow is the big day for pie fans at the annual pie party at the Mercado San Agustin. Now, this is a virtually endless array of pies that are going to be on parade for all to taste, whether you like it sweet or savory or anything in between. Slices are only $3 or two for $5, and each slice purchased means a vote for one of about six nonprofits which are vying to win the proceeds to support their local programs. So it's time to let a notch out of the old Buckmaster belt tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. for some serious pie eating for local charities.
Well, I'll travel a long distance. If anybody's got a really nice coconut cream pie, you've got me down. I love coconut cream, and I would go banana cream, too, as well. That is our one of three picks. Number two on the Matt Russell pick of the week is...
Yes, you know, it's hard to believe that it's been 4 years, Bill, since the second Saturday's event launched downtown, and tomorrow night they're going to have a special anniversary party planned for that occasion. So the movie Pulp Fiction is going to be playing at the Fox Theater. There's going to be a free concert at Hotel Congress, lots of activities for the kids and families, and of course, big-time food and drink specials from area restaurants. Now, one of the places that I'd love when I go downtown is Diablo Burger, which has some of the most creative and innovative burgers that I've ever seen. So I say make plans to celebrate Second Saturday's downtown tomorrow night and grab a great meal and cocktail while you're down there.
Yeah, make mine medium rare, will you, Matt? I can use a nice burger right about now.
Yes, sir.
And top pick of the week goes to...
Yeah, Bill, so many great destinations to treat mom this year for Mother's Day, but my pick this time is the world-class elegance of the Arizona Inn. Imagine starting with a chilled vichyssoise or Brussels sprouts with goat cheese, followed by dishes like smoked salmon Benedict and lamb bourguignon. This is such a great place, Bill, to show Mom how much you love her. 2200 East Elm is the historic Arizona Inn, and it's my choice for Mother's Day brunch this year.
Oh, what a great place to take Mom to enjoy Mother's Day. What do you have lined up in the column that folks can read online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. There's only one way to say it, so here goes. I ate a testicle taco last week, sir.
Excuse me?
And I soon discovered how many restaurants across town have these beauties on their menus. If you want to find out where testes are top sellers, check out this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business, and I hope you have not just lost your FCC license.
Ray Allen, today's producer, saying, no, thank you very much, but I know you love tacos, and you will try a taco, depending on whatever it is, you'll go for it. Matt Russell, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill.
Thanks. Bottled water on The Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoying a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt, who is enjoying the day off, we appreciate the support of producer Ray Allen today on The Buckmaster Show. We really like Ray's work. We appreciate everything he does here at KVOI. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend, and reminding you we've got all sorts of expert talk here on KVOI. We are really heavily scheduled, aren't we, Ray, with local talk Saturday and Sunday, whole thing, local talk. And again, we hope, Ray and I, wishing you the very best for the weekend. Have a good one.